I'm having like a real moment of getting a little emotional. I can't believe this plant community is all here to talk about plant community, and you guys all showed up on a Monday. I'm so thankful to all of you. Welcome to the first live taping of Bloom and Grow Radio. Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 59 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hiya, plant friends. Hope you're all doing well and that your plants are just starting to wake up in the spring and living their best lives. It's been so nice to be on the West Coast for the winter, and even more lovely that spring has sprung everywhere and you can just feel the lightheartedness in the energy of people around me because spring is in full bloom right now. I've been trying to do at least one hike in every city that we visit with Cats on Tour, and I've just been truly enjoying seeing all of these trees, the local trees in all the cities that we're in, just coming back to life and the tiny little buds that are quickly blooming and growing into larger leaves. It's just been magical. There's just some really magical part about the beginning of spring. Anyways, I'm so excited to share the magic of our first live taping of Bloom and Grow Radio at Folia Collective in Los Angeles with my special guests, Danae from Folia Collective and Christine from Work Hard, Plant Hard. This episode is so near and dear to my heart. You will know both of these guests from episode 24 on how to start a plant shop, where Danae took us behind the scenes of how she grew Folia Collective into the planty mecca that it is now in Los Angeles, and episode 17 on the studies behind why plants make people happy and healthy with Christine, who is a practicing physician. And in that episode, she walks us through the scientific studies that prove that plants improve the quality of our lives. I definitely misquoted both the episodes in the live taping. I said the wrong number, so please forgive that. So they are episode 24 and 17. These two women are such special friends to me, and they're such pillars in this planty community, and I'm just so thrilled to be sharing our conversation with you. We dive into all things plant community, how to first become a part of it, how to grow once you've been in it for a while, and also how to behave as part of it. I was really surprised at how inspiring and helpful the social media etiquette section of the conversation was, and I hope that you have some great takeaways from it, because I know I did. I want to give a special thanks to Ahus Aquavit, RT1 Home, Modern Sprout, Bloom Living, and Hemleva, who all partnered with us for the event. You will hear more about them at the end of the episode. They're all companies I love. I'm so excited to bring you this conversation with some lovely women. But before that, I'm even more excited to tell you about today's sponsor and a lovely succulent company, Mountain Crest Gardens. Plant friends, if you are a succulent lover, whether you use them indoors or outdoors, you must check out mountaincrestgardens.com. They are a two-decade-old family-owned and operated succulent nursery, shipping the most gorgeous succulents to your door from their nursery in California. Mountain Crest has one of the largest selections of indoor and outdoor succulents in the country, with hundreds of different types of succulents offered year-round. I'm telling you, plant friends, I was blown away by the shipment of succulents they sent me and the incredible variety, and even more blown away by the care that they take in their packaging. I wanted to fill some of the hanging planters that I have in my southern facing window with some of their trailing succulents, and I loved learning of the wide variety of trailing succulents that Mountain Crest has. Not only did I get my favorite hanging succulent, the String of Pearls, or Senecio rolianus, I'm going to mispronounce all this Latin, but I'm trying, but I also learned of two new hanging succulents, the String of Bananas, which is Senecio radicans, and then the String of Bananas Blue Pickle, which is Senecio radicans glauca, which is a pickle-shaped trailing vine that's blue and greenish, and it's so cool looking. So now I've got the whole Senecio crew hanging in my window, and I love the way it looks, and I totally wouldn't have known about the variety without Mountain Crest. So if you want to bring a new or rare succulent home this season, Mountain Crest Gardens is offering Bloom and Grow listeners 15% off your first purchase by heading to mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom, where you'll get your personalized discount code for 15% off your first order. That's mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom, where you'll find your personal discount code for 15% off. Okay, plant friends, here's our planty chat. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. For those of you listening in who aren't here right now, we're recording live from Folia Collective, owned by our lovely Danae. And today we are so lucky. I have the coolest guests, Danae from Folia Collective and Christine from Work Hard, Plant Hard. You guys might follow their amazing Instagram accounts or blogs, or maybe have been to the shop. And we thought that it would be very fitting for the first taping of Bloom and Grow Radio, but also for some sort of live event, to have a really cool conversation about plant community and this plant community and how it's so different. Plants right now, the community right now is so different than what it was in the 70s, the last time houseplants was cool. And I'm looking around, we've got a lot of millennial, Gen Y, I don't know what the other names are for all the people our age, but we're all approaching community in a very different way online. And what does that mean for us? And how do we do it in a fun way? How do we do it in a healthy way? And that's what we're going to uncover. But first, we had some listener questions, and I got two icebreakers that I loved that I figured we'd start off with. So Green Thumb Miami asks, if you had to be a plant for the rest of your life, what would you be and why? Who wants to ask?
You want me first? To go first?
Yes. Okay.
I would be an aloe plant because an aloe is very easy to take care of, and they also can help heal people. So.
And you're a doctor.
I honestly don't know how to answer this question. Probably some kind of philodendron because I love philodendrons and they are climbers. Not that I'm a climber, but I'm always like kind of on the move trying to kind of reach for the next thing, mm-hmm. I guess.
And they've been around and they're resilient.
Yeah.
You and Folia Collective are very resilient and you grow and your leaves, as you grow up, as they grow up, the leaves get bigger and you're in your second shop and your second shop is much larger.
Thank you for answering this question for me. I didn't even know. But yes, you're right. I love that. Thank you.
And I realized I got to the icebreakers and I didn't even ask you guys to introduce yourselves. Do you want to maybe introduce yourself and say what you do in this plant community for us?
So I'm Christine from Work Hard, Plant Hard, and I live in the San Diego area. I actually am a doctor in my real life, and also a mom of two little kids. But I have always loved plants, and I hopped into this plant community having no clue what I was getting myself into. It's going to be 2 years ago this summer, and it's been super fun, and I know we're going to talk about some of that today. Mm-hmm.
And you were on episode, I think, 17.
17, because I just reposted it.
Yes.
About the health benefits of having houseplants in your home.
And I'm Danae from Folia Collective. I operate a plant boutique in the Los Angeles area. And yeah, just started this as a pop-up shop and kind of steadily growing it over the last, we're almost at our 3-year anniversary since we've started the business in our second year as a brick and mortar. So that's exciting. And just always excited to be with plant friends. So thank you guys for being here tonight and for those of you listening.
Yay. And Danae was on, I think, episode 21, right? How to Start a Plant Shop. If you're curious in Danae's journey to where we got to this beautiful plant shop we're in today, you can tune in. And Plant Parenthood UNC asks, what's your favorite plant right now? Because I feel like we can go through seasons where you're into different types of plants. So are you feeling anything specific?
I used to have a really hard time with this question, and probably the last 6 months, I've repeatedly said Monstera adansonii. I love the look of them. I love the holes in the leaves. I love how they grow. I also love that there's different types, so they don't have different names, and mm-hmm. I think they may be naming them differently in the next botanical naming changes that they do, but it's probably the plant I have the most of in my house. They're also super easy to care for. They can handle slightly less light, so I can put them in places I can't put other plants and propagate super easily. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm going to choose two. Because it's not fair to choose one.
It's a great answer.
Hard to find plants. The plant I'm kind of the most obsessed with that's like a plant I have right now, I have a philodendron linamii, I think is how you say it, that just has the craziest leaves. They're huge. And when the new fronds open up, they're like this bright kind of reddish maroon color. They're so fun. So that's my like favorite kind of unusual plant. But I have like a new found love for aglaonemas, actually, especially like the green ones, mm-hmm. as opposed to like the white or the pink ones. I just think they're just really beautiful and such like a hardy and resilient plant. Mm-hmm. That's kind of our new favorite plant to recommend to people that are like, I don't really know that much about plants. I'm looking for like an easy plant. That's one of our favorites here now. So we've started trying to stock as many of the varieties as we can find. And so Aglaonema cutlass is my favorite of the aglaonemas right now.
Ooh, and aglaonemas, I feel like they have such beautiful foliage, but they're not as finicky as some of the other really beautiful foliage plants. So they're a good starter if you want that like urban jungle.
Exactly. And the all green ones can tolerate kind of more medium light too, so they don't have to have like the brightest window spot in your house. So,
oh, now I want one.
See, she does that. She does that to you.
She does that. Oh.
I swear I'm not trying to sell you.
I'll post something in my story and she goes, oh, that's my favorite one. And I'm like, shoot, now I gotta go.
Now I have to go get it. Gosh. I want to answer this question too. And my answer would be two. Number one, variegated euphorbia, which I know you have a big one. You got one for Mother's Day, Christine, right? A few years ago.
Oh, an amok. A euphorbia amok?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same one. But anyway, I'm born and bred New Yorker. I've recently been in California and it is just blowing my mind seeing these plants just out in the street. My Airbnb had like 20 of them in San Jose, and it just like brought me so much joy seeing them in real life, having only seen them at the Botanic Garden. And then the other one that, and I've mentioned this on some of the other podcasts, I just feel like the snake plant like doesn't get enough. It's underrated. That's the word that I want to say. It really wants bright light, but it never gets to be in the windowsill because it tolerates low light. So it's always like in the corner and it's never really like set up for success. And I've just been like thinking about that a lot. So anyway, I think I've been loving snake plants, especially those little guys over there. I think I'm going to go home with one of those. But yeah. All right. So on to plant community. I'd love to hear both of your stories. You both have such interesting stories about how you kind of joined this plant community and how you've grown within it. So do you want to kind of walk us through what those stories are?
Sure. So for me, I was really just looking for an outlet. It was summer of 2017. It was a really stressful time for me, and I was looking for kind of a creative outlet. I've always really, as I said, liked plants. I like crafting. I like decor. And so I just decided to start a public Instagram account just so I could start connecting with people who had similar interests. And I remember my first post, I had just made these little concrete planters for my sister-in-law's shower, and I, you know, had all these little mini jade plants and the little planters, and that was my first post. And from there, it honestly, it just kind of spiraled, because it turned out that there was this whole community I didn't know about. And so people, oh, that's cool. Oh, and then I'd look at something they were doing. I'm like, oh, that's neat too. And wow, you know, it really, it's like a domino effect where you just start connecting with more and more people that are really, you know, interested in caring for plants. And again, like the crafting and the decor. So I kind of do a little bit of all of it and I enjoy all of it. So I've kind of connected along the way with people, honestly, now all over the world who are into these kind of things. And I consider some of them my pen pals, which is kind of funny, you know, because in a way, like a lot of social media gets a bit of a bad rap and some of it can be really toxic. And the plant community has been a place where I feel like there's so little of that toxicity, mm-hmm. and it's a safe place to be. And, you know, I will say on occasion, there are, you know, narcissists out there still in the plant community, but for the most part, everybody's, you know, really nice and thoughtful and considerate. And so it really has just grown and grown. And in the process, I've gotten to meet people in person, which is really my favorite part of the whole thing. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So I, in a weird way, kind of fell into the online plant community because in 2014, I started working with Justina Blakeney at The Jungalow, who many of you may know or know of, though she's not like a plant business. Plants are very much like a huge piece of her brand, and she loves plants and incorporates them into her designs. And through working with her, just kind of had started basically spending a lot more time around plants other than just like my own plants. And I would just post photos from, you know, plants I was buying for shoots or plants, you know, from little field trips we were taking or whatever we were doing. And I was working as a photographer and a prop stylist, and then also as the editorial director at The Jungalow. And I went to a photo camp, basically a camp for like grown-up photographers, and called Field Trip. And ahead of time, they used some algorithm to analyze every attendee's Instagram and came up with like a nickname for each person based on kind of what the algorithm found in their Instagram. And from my personal Instagram feed, the nickname they gave me was Crazy Plant Lady. And I was like, what? And then I looked at my Instagram and I was like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of plants in my feed now. And it was funny because at the time, like personally, most of the photography work I was doing was either interiors or tabletop, like food styling stuff. So that was surprising. And then later that same year, I decided to do like a personal Instagram photo project where I just came up with a hashtag called hashtag daily plant dose and started posting a photo of a plant every day and made a challenge for myself to learn the botanical names of every plant that I posted. My goal was to make it a year. I did not make it a year. But within that year, actually, I started to really realize like the kind of void that there was in the plant shop realm in LA. And that's kind of how Folia came to be. And then, of course, through doing this as a job and really as my life, just, you know, got more and more and more deep into kind of the social media realm of the plant community. But something I has always been really important to me with Folia is to have this kind of a thing as a big aspect of it. So even when I was doing pop-up shops and didn't have my own like home for the shop, we were doing workshops in other people's spaces and really, you know, spending a lot of time talking with people about their plants and making sure people knew how to care for their plants and just chatting with people about their lives. And community has really been like a really important piece of what my vision for Folia was from the very beginning. And I really appreciate the way that Instagram just kind of opens that up to make it so that your community can be like all over the world. I mean, it's crazy how many times I meet people in real life who I've been friends with on Instagram for years. And then we're like, oh yeah, like I recently had dinner with a friend who is an Instagram friend from Portland, and then another couple that are from Australia. We all happened to be in LA at the same time. We had dinner together, and I was like, guys, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like we're already friends, and we're just meeting in person for the first time. So, yeah, I really appreciate the kind of online community, but I especially love the way that kind of the two intersect when you kind of get the in real life moments mm-hmm. with the people that you've been interacting with online. Something I really love about the shop is just every time someone comes in and they're like, oh, I'm so-and-so on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen all of your comments.
We've DM'd like so
thank
much.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, thank you for answering that crazy question I had in the DMs. That stuff really just like makes mm-hmm. my day. So
No, totally. I feel like it's that interesting cycle of going online to connect with people who have your similar plant passion, but then figuring out how to get offline to like make real friendships. But then that kind of also pushes you back online. Like it is this interesting kind of cyclical thing. I started in the plant community because I was a plant killer and wanted to stop killing plants, and actually realized if you searched, none of my friends, when I started getting into plants, like none of my friends would have it. They all just like thought I was so weird because I'd been a plant killer for so long, and they just thought it would be like another little hobby I had. I can't remember who my first account was. It might have been Houseplant Journal or Lee Kiyoko, Erin. I can't remember who the first one was, but the minute I saw that one person and then went down the hashtag warp hole of like, oh, plants make people happy. Oh, urban jungle bloggers. Holy moly, there's all these people just like me. Maybe my friends from home don't want to talk about plants, but like these people will talk about plants with me. And there's so much educational. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but there are people who you can reach out to. That's how I learned. I feel like the majority of the learning I've done in the plant space has been online, so much so that I started a digital podcast about it. But yeah, so that cycle though of like meeting people and then getting offline is very important. Do you guys have a favorite? You shared a little bit, but do you have a favorite story about that kind of cycle of maybe meeting someone online and taking it offline, or a fun plant community story?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy to say there's been so many now. Mm-hmm. One of the first ones was with you.
Yeah.
So Maria came to San Diego. It would have been January 2018.
Yeah.
And I kind of showed her around some plant shops up in Encinitas. Mm-hmm. And my husband took her partner surfing. And it was super fun afternoon. And, you know, one of the things about where I live is there's so many plant places. Mm-hmm. And I didn't quite realize how unique that was until I was online. Mm-hmm. And people were going, oh, my gosh, where'd you find that? Where'd you find that? Where'd you find? I'm like, oh, my gosh. Encinitas used to be covered with greenhouses. You know, there still are quite a few. So I enjoy sort of getting out there and kind of showing people what can be found and where. So I've extended that to other places. And so what I try to do too, community wise, is really connect with some of the plant shop owners and nursery owners. So that's how I met Danae and, you know, the owners at Peep in Riverside, who I got to meet. And then just my local area people have been awesome. And then at one point there was a posting about a plant shop in another city, and I can't remember which one it was, but somebody in the plant community in San Diego said, hey, Christine, when are we having one in San Diego? And like put it on me. I was like, okay, all right, let's do it. You know, so we organized our first plant swap, and that was the first event where we got, you know, the first one, I think we had 20 people show up and had such a good time. It's like, when are we going to do this again? When are we going to do this again? Just really connecting with people from all walks of life, really. You know, we talk a lot about millennials and I'm a Gen Xer and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's really, I mean, the last plant swap we had, there was a 2-year-old and there was a 90-year-old. Like,
wow.
It was really, really cool. I just, from all walks of life, which has been, you know, one of the more fun parts of it. So. Mm-hmm.
I'll say that too. I feel like most of my plant friends might not necessarily have been friends that I would have made as a theater performer or in New York City. Like my plant friends and I probably wouldn't be friends in real life outside of that, just because of our just opportunity, and our circles would have never overlapped. So it is a cool way to meet people and learn different views of the world, like people who just like walk about the world differently that you might not know, and gives you a larger appreciation. What about you?
I feel like I have so many experiences of just amazing interactions that happen out in the real world. Even lately, we've been like having more and more events at the shop that have like guests coming in. And a couple of months ago in January, we had Jason Chong from Plant Society in Australia, who I've followed online for a really long time, but you know, we had never met. And he just happened to kind of post that like he was coming to LA, and I was like, hey, if you're ever in the States and you want to do a workshop or something, we'd be really happy to host you. And he was like, oh, like, perfect. Like, yes, can I come to a workshop at the shop? And he was here. And just through that, like, we've also kind of started setting up more events. We have this tonight with Maria and Christine, and then Hilton Carter's coming in a couple of months. And yeah, there's just kind of been more and more and more of that. One of my new plant friends from Australia, Baden, who operates Plant by Packwood, which is,
oh yeah,
one of the prettiest plant shops I've ever seen, because their plant shop is literally a greenhouse. He's going to be coming and teaching a terrarium workshop for us. So those have been really kind of fun ways to also connect like our local community with the like broader worldwide plant community, which I'm having a lot of fun with too. So
totally. I just also want to say, going back to Christine mentioning our experience, my boyfriend, who is not in the plant community, we went to San Diego on vacation and I was like, oh yeah, we're going to go to the house of this woman who I met online. And her kids are going to be there. We're going to hang at the house. Oh, and then her husband's going to take you surfing. Like, he was like, what are you talking about? That's insane. But it ended up being the loveliest day. And it felt so comfortable and so just like natural to be like, yeah, I'm going to come over to your house. We technically haven't met yet, but it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. So, okay. So for people maybe who are starting off, maybe you have just gotten your first couple of plants. Maybe you searched your first hashtag and this whole plant community world is just starting to open up. What might be some tips that you would give people who are just starting out, getting their feet wet? Maybe how do you make that first plant friend? How do you make that first connection in this community?
Yeah, I think back, you could be intentional about it or you could not, right? Like I was not at all intentional about it. I just kind of let it happen the way it was going to happen. I didn't have a particular goal in mind. I think if you're a business or you own a shop or something, you have to be pretty serious and intentional about what you're doing with your Instagram feed. But if you're just a planty person and you're just looking to connect, you just kind of let it roll. And through those hashtags, you kind of find people. And one of the things I would say too is, don't be afraid to ask questions and comment and stuff, because at this point, I don't know you're there unless you say something, right? So I love hearing from people. That's my favorite thing, is interacting. And like, people will ask me questions or DM me and like, I'm so sorry to bother. I'm like, I don't mind. This is a super fun community. We're all learning from each other. So just don't be afraid to put yourself out there. And if somebody's feed looks interesting, and just go ahead and follow them and start interacting. Just don't be shy. You know, it really is a nice community, and really no ill will, you know, from people. So the other thing I would mention is, one of the first ways, aside from hashtags, that I found people with kind of similar interests was just, if I found another person, I would just check and see who were they following and who was following them.
Oh, okay.
And I would kind of check out some of those feeds as well, just to try to, again, connect with people all over the place that were into plants.
So I would click on Work Hard, Plant Hard. I'd go to your feed and then I would see who you're following and then scroll down that.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I found a lot of accounts early on that way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my tips too. Way to steal it. Also along those lines, another function in Instagram that you can use is the sort of suggested accounts. So whenever you're on someone's profile, if you click that little like down arrow button, shows you all of the other accounts that they think you might like. And a lot of times that algorithm is actually really good. You know, sometimes it's suggesting things that you may not be interested in, but I've found a lot of accounts that way. Of just like, oh, I love this feed. Let's see who else I haven't heard of. But yeah, I think when you're getting started, engagement is just really crucial. Like whether it's commenting or just liking things or DMing, even sometimes just, we get so many DMs a day and most of them are plant questions. And that can be really overwhelming for us, because we're also
trying to run
running
a business.
An actual business. Like, I'm actually here most days for most of the day. But sometimes people will just like send just like really simple DMs of just like heart eyes on a photo that they thought was really pretty from a story or things like that. And that really means a lot too, even to business accounts. You have to remember that most business accounts, if they're small businesses, they're still like a real person behind that. And even if the person checking the Instagram isn't, you know, I still mostly run our social media and I'm the one like actually replying to the DMs. But even companies where there's like a social media manager, sometimes it's nice just to have people that are like kind of contributing in a way that's just like simple and kind, and not just like, hey, I need something from you. Questions are fine. I'm not saying don't send us questions. We're happy to answer those too. But you know, sometimes it's nice to have that little reminder of like, oh, this person understands that like we're people and not like a question answering machine. But yeah, I think just that engagement and also sharing what you know. So if you see a post and someone's asking a question and you know the answer to it, share. You know, you can find ways to kind of do it in a way that doesn't feel like you're trying to be like a know-it-all. I often do that just because
I
know a lot of things.
Group, in the Bloom and Grow Facebook group, you're so helpful. Well, you answer so many questions.
There's so many questions there. And you know, a lot of times it'll be covered. And if somebody's already answered it, great. Or if someone just needs, like, I think this is it, but I don't know. Like, chime in. Because if you have knowledge, like, I really think that's something that's super fun about the plant community is just that we get to share all of our collective knowledge with each other. And experience is such a big piece of learning how to care for plants. Is like, sometimes you can't learn it without doing it. And so if somebody else already did it and made a mistake or had a lot of success, it's great to be able to share that with each other.
Mm-hmm. I think to like what you mentioned, just like asking a simple question is such an inviting way to like start an authentic conversation with someone. I mean, all of my initial plant friends way before Bloom and Grow was a thing, when I just on my personal account was me like just asking like Alessia from Apartment Botanist, like what that plant on her feed was and having her respond and like just starting a conversation about, oh, how did you care for that? Or like, oh, where did you get that? And also like in an event, like if you're at a plant shop, one of my first plant friends, I was in a houseplant 101 class at the SIL way before the podcast had started. And there was a group of other people taking the same class. And I just started asking them questions and we started having conversation and we ended up following each other on Instagram and we still keep in touch and support each other when we can. And it's fun to have seen each other's accounts like all grow, but it's special to have just like had that kind of reverse, like meeting in real life and then continuing to keep in touch, you know, over the socials. So you can make plant friends here tonight if you want. So if you have been, maybe you had an account, maybe you have some plant friends, and maybe we're thinking like plant community 201. So like maybe you want to take that next step of maybe hosting a plant swap or organizing some sort of group thing. Like what would be fun ways to continue to grow in this plant community once you've kind of started your account and like gotten comfortable with those first steps?
Yeah, I think a plant swap can seem really overwhelming to plan. I did just recently write a blog post about how to do it.
So oh, great. Okay.
If anybody wants to see that. And I borrowed some from Danae, some information from her swaps, because I'd had so many people asking, how do I do this in my town? You know, so I really tried to outline what I consider best practices. But it can seem like an overwhelming thing to start with. It's really helpful to get help and partner with a shop, partner with a nursery. They're usually super happy to do it because they're going to bring a bunch of business in. You have to have enough space for it, etc. And I go over all of that. But even something simpler is just little planty meetups, which I went to a planty meetup last year. It was Kristen from Plant Lady Co. started it. And she just said, oh, we're all meeting in LA. And I was actually going to be in LA already. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll go to that. You know, Alana's here tonight. That's where I met her.
So. Oh, really? You met at a planty meetup? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
So the Small Savage Wild, I'll mention. So they make beautiful plant shelves. And anyway, she was at the meetup and we went to a little coffee shop. It had a bunch of plants. What's the name of that place? Verve. Can't remember. Verve. And then we went to Rolling Greens and we just, you know, all had a great time checking out plants. And all that took was for her to just say, hey, whoever wants to come meet, you know, we're going to meet. And I think there were like 10 of us. I know a bunch of people that have now been doing those kind of meetups and making a lot of friends. And in fact, some of their best friends now are through these communities. I see a lot of nods in the audience. Mm-hmm. And some of these groups have been coming to our plant swaps and it's just so fun to see them and see all the support they're giving each other. Actually, I think the second plant swap that we held in San Diego, so Manny of Perennial Poppy ended up helping give somebody a ride back to LA because she was otherwise going to be stranded. And now they're really good friends.
Oh my gosh.
So the planty meetups, the plant swaps, I think those are some really nice ways to just get, you know, interacting with each other and stuff.
Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up So good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Yeah. And if you are wondering, maybe like, okay, I'm in LA, I want to make plant friends, I want to set up a planting meetup, how do I get the word out? How do I make this happen? How would you suggest like connecting with other people in your area?
Yeah, I mean, I think you really got to start by finding those accounts.
Yeah.
And obviously, if there are accounts that are somewhat bigger and they're in your area, reach out to them. Say, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, I'd love it if we could have this kind of thing in our area. Could you help out or whatever? A lot of times people are happy to do that.
Like, yeah.
And the worst thing they're going to say is, I'm so sorry, I don't have time to do that. But you might as well at least ask because that's the best way to really get the word out. Or you could go to a business that has a lot of followers and say, hey, would you help me get this word out?
Yeah. I've had people make, there was like a queer plant swap going in Chicago, and I had someone reach out to me and ask to give a shout out on the podcast or like post on an Instagram. And I feel like for the most part, any of us are happy to do that. You know, if you go the effort to set the date, set the time, make a little thing that we could post very easily, that's an easy way to do it too. I also see people in the Bloom and Grow Garden Club Facebook group constantly being like, who's in, I don't know, DC this weekend? Like, I'm going to go check out Terrain. Like, who wants to come? If you can find like those Facebook groups too. Do you have anything else to add?
A lot of like location specific hashtags, like plant location hashtags. I noticed an Instagram account that I follow recently started a hashtag series of like kind of using the same words and then the name of your city at the end. So there's a lot of like houseplant community, Nashville or whatever.
Right.
So kind of looking at those location specific hashtags can also help sometimes, I think, and find the people that are like actually in your neck of the woods. Yeah.
I love the idea though of like going to the four shops in Nashville and saying, hey, this is something I want to do. Would you work with me to kind of connect me with your followers? That was a weird way to say followers. Yeah.
but even if you say like, we want to meet here first,
right?
Would you get the word out? We're going to meet here and then, you know, move.
Oh my God. Do plant shop hopping.
Well, exactly. No, yeah, there's a like, lot of that going on, you know, visiting botanical gardens.
Like a plant shop crawl.
A plant shop crawl.
But
you could put different cocktails. You could pre-place different cocktails in each plant shop. Okay, I'm going to... Where's Becca? Tucson, we're going to do that. Becca came from Tucson to this recording today, so... Yeah, sure.
Is that you? I think I am too.
What's the hashtag?
And what is the hashtag?
It's your city plus indoor jungle.
Okay, so the hashtag that I mentioned is your city, whatever the name of your city is, plus indoor jungle.
What's your Instagram handle?
De La Plants is the one who started that hashtag. And I think that's a genius idea. So everybody start using that too. It'll help us all find each other.
That's a great idea.
Yay.
Yeah.
Plant community. See, we're all talking. We're all connected.
I feel bad because I actually started a Facebook group called SoCal Plant Community.
Uh-huh.
And I just never go on Facebook.
But it's probably self-sustaining.
Yeah.
They're probably
no
talking
idea.
To each other.
Is it? I don't know. Okay.
It's there. It's doing great. Go check it out.
And no one's administering it apparently, so you can just go crazy.
Maybe I should hand it to someone to take over.
Okay, so Danae, you are a plant shop owner. If someone wants to approach a plant shop, maybe they have an idea for a planty themed class that they might want to do, or they might want to partner with you in some sort of way. Do you have any tips for maybe what the best and appropriate way to approach you would be? I would guess not in DMs on Instagram.
Yeah, DMs are hard. Also, just keep in mind that accounts that have a lot of followers, DMs are like packed full, especially like the DMs that aren't from people that we're already following. And we try to follow a lot of people, but there's just a lot. Often I won't see those, or I just won't have time to get to them for like a month. So DMs are not always the best strategy unless you've already connected like through DMs. There's people who like I talk to frequently through DMs who like usually I'll be like, oh, just quickly respond. But yeah, an email is always best. Actually, my biggest tip for trying to kind of do something you want to do, but with a business, is to actually like make sure you like go to the business. I can't tell you how many times we have people reach out to us that want to do something that have never been to our store and clearly know nothing about it and don't like know what our vibe is and don't know like exactly what we do and just send us like these cold emails that are just like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that because it's not remotely in the realm of things we do. So really like just visit the shop, like visit the business, buy something. I mean, I'm not saying you have to, but like just like show that you actually have an interest in them as a business, because we do get a lot of those requests. And so realizing that people actually recognize that we're doing something that's different from every other business they've reached out to, and being able to call out some of those things in your email will definitely make it stand out. And then also making sure you're aware of what they're already offering. So people come to me and will say like, oh, I really want to teach, you know, a propagation class or something. And there's a propagation class on the calendar already. It's like, yeah, we already do that ourselves. So kind of just make sure you actually know like what's going on with the business, what they're up to, and then, you know, kind of go from there. So really, I think it's the same as like building an actual relationship. Like you need to like get to know the person a little bit. And I think much that way you need to get to know the business a bit. And you don't have to be like a regular before you can approach. But I think just having made a visit, know something, find out what the shop owner's name is another piece. I get so many emails that are just like, hello, exclamation point. And it's like, my name is all over our website. My name is on our like Instagram profile. Like it's not hard to find out who owns this business.
Yeah.
And most businesses, it's not hard. Now, some can be. Some websites you have to dig to find out, like, who is this person behind this? But if it's obvious, use their name to make, like, a personal connection.
Personalize it as much. I'm thinking in my head right now, if I didn't know you and I wanted to do this taping, I could say, hi, Danae. I loved visiting your shop last week where I bought a Silver Ripple Peperomia, which I actually did buy from here last week. I'm obsessed with its shine. Thanks for the care tip you gave me. I noticed on your upcoming schedule that you don't have any live tapings of podcasts coming up. How would you feel about being the host and part sponsor of my podcast? This is what it would look like. I'll bring all the equipment. You would just need to have the shop open. Can we further explore what this would look like?
Yeah, exactly.
And nailed it, booked it. Totally. We're doing the podcast.
Here we are. No. That's exactly how this went down.
Okay,
not really, but
0% how that worked out. But
that's, I think, a great example. And, you know, even if it's something where maybe you're approaching someone in a city you don't live in because you're going to be in town. I mean, I actually think about doing this a lot of times when I'm traveling, is just trying to like get a meetup together because I want to meet other plant people and other plant shop owners. And so even if you haven't been able to visit in person, spend some time on their Instagram. Or if you have someone you know in common, like say like, oh, I've heard so many great things about you from whoever it is you have in common.
Whatever,
but just make sure like they can tell you're actually paying attention to like what they're doing and, you know, kind of what they're about.
Yeah. No, I love that. As personal as you can make it. Can we just talk quickly about maybe some etiquette that you feel like might be good to discuss? Maybe some tips and rules for how to be a good member of our community?
You want to start?
Or maybe things not to do, maybe things to do. Being personal, being kind, being respectful of people's time and understanding that people might not be able to respond to a DM immediately comes to mind.
Yeah, I think those are great things. I mean, just the general kind of being a good human being sort of tips, like being respectful. I think that always applies no matter if it's in real life or online. The kind of inception of this question was a conversation Christine and I were actually having via DM on Instagram. And really, it can be frustrating for, I think, any of us that take like nice photos of plants or of anything, but of plants in this context, to see accounts that are what I refer to as regram accounts. So accounts that don't post any of their own content and only share other people's. And it's not like that's in and of itself is a bad thing, but it's when you're burying the like
the
credit
dot,
for
dot,
the
dot.
Actual
or not crediting at all.
Photo not crediting at all, no tags, nothing, or only tagging the photo and not actually including anything in the caption. That kind of stuff, I feel like, just feels really bad. Like when you see your work out there, just like, you know, somebody else is like kind of representing themselves as like, this is my beautiful picture. And everybody in the comments is like, this is so great. Your house is so beautiful. Your plants are so whatever it is. Like, wait, no, that's my photo. That's my dining room.
That's my dining room. And
like, that actually, I just this last like 2 days ago, some kind of Regram account that had a decent amount of followers and had pretty good engagement had posted a picture of like my Hoya collection, which hangs over our dining room table, and had at tagged me on the photo itself, but there was no mention in the caption that it wasn't their own photo. And so I actually just commented and said, like, thank you so much for enjoying my photo, but if you're going to use it, I just ask that you tag me in the credit. And they updated the caption. I asked nicely. Especially because I still work as a photographer. That's especially important to me is just to make sure credit is being given. Anytime we share a photo that isn't ours, we make it very obvious that this is not our work. Like we have community hashtags, and we try to make sure that like we're representing other people in when we're sharing those photos.
Yeah.
But just really recognizing that, there's part of being a good member of a community is building each other up and not just building your own thing up.
I feel almost like the police when I see, and it's usually other people's. I don't even honestly get quite as upset when it's mine, but if I see somebody else's that I know, this happens all the time with Earth, Wind, and Cactus, who are actually friends of mine in San Diego, and they have these beautiful photos of their cacti. And I'll see them suddenly in an account and like, wait a minute, you didn't even say who that was. And so then I become the police. I'm like, they're my friends and you're going to fix this right now. You know, I get so mad. But yeah, I think it's just really, it's super important to, and then not only that, but also if you are inspired, because I see a lot of the plant community, it's about inspiration and information, right? So we're helping each other out and we're also inspiring each other. And if you were inspired by someone, by all means, say so, you know?
Yeah.
I am so like over the top about this. I just recently, so Jen Lost in Plantopia, who's out of Canada, she has a beautiful account, wonderful information. And she uses these hashtags that allow you to watch the progress of her plants. And I just love those. So I started kind of using them for a couple areas of my home. It was like, oh, see how these shelves have evolved. And then I specifically say, I got this idea from her.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll say it over and over again because I just want to make it clear that I didn't think of it myself.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important just to share where the inspiration came from, you know.
So with tagging with photos, if you're going to share someone else's photo, which is totally legit, we can lift each other up by sharing each other's photos, but make sure that the photo gets tagged and that you're tagging that account in the initial blog portion,
not down in the caption, a long paragraph.
Right. Don't hide it. And then
don't bury it under the hashtags.
Right. Don't bury it in the hashtags. And then I love the idea of even take it to the next level. And if you're inspired by someone, shout them out. Why the heck not? It's, if anything, that's another great way to connect with people. If you admire someone's work, shouting them out and saying, hey, I loved this thing that they did. That's like, and tagging them in your stories. That's a great way to get someone's attention and maybe they'll talk to you. I'm pretty sure Josh from Airplant Man is in the audience, and I'm pretty sure that's how I connected with him and got him on my podcast. But it worked. Any other etiquette stuff?
I think in general with kind of questions and answering and kind of just engaging in conversation also, especially in comments, there are times when we might disagree about specifics when it comes, especially to plant care. Plant care can be a very personal thing. And what works for like one person might not work for everyone. And so I think trying not to be like militant about the way you do it and like completely invalidating everyone else's way of doing it, I think just is a better way to build community because there might even be like 90 people in the comments who are completely wrong about the answer.
Yeah.
There's a way to provide like the right information without it seeming like you think everyone else is an idiot. So I think just, keeping in mind that like all of those like, you know, handles, those are people and there's real people reading them.
Yeah.
And I think we can kind of get very like excited about, you know, something that we're really passionate about. And if you're really passionate about the particular way you care for your plants, if you're really passionate about whatever misting versus bottom watering or aerating with chopsticks versus, you know, doing nothing or whatever it is.
Add insonia versus just, oblique.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Just like remember, we're all all just really just kind of trying to have fun here. And like, yeah, and if you see somebody nerds, who is asking for help and is asking for your advice, by all means, share it. But I think there's a bit of like this people that kind of seem to be patrolling Instagram, just looking for like wrong,
right,
false. And, you know, there's a place for sharing information, but I don't think we have to be quite so grumpy about it all the time.
Yeah, and I also think, I mean, nobody knows everything, right? Nobody.
Yeah.
Not one person. We can always, everybody can learn something, including about plants. So this idea, you know, like, let's remember to be humble. Let's remember that what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another person, you know, and just keep that in mind as you move through this, because you will come across accounts that are very like, this is how it is and this is how you do it. And, you know, and that's fine, you know, but just like, remember, that's probably not going to help you learn the most information about plants and people, for that matter.
Sometimes I think it's even just as simple as the language that you use when you're answering questions or giving your advice, and saying like, well, I find this works for me, is like, I think, a much friendlier way to say like, this is what I think is the right way, and doesn't make everyone else who commented with a different method feel completely invalidated.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we're all taking these plants that are supposed to be living in jungles and trying to make them live in our dry apartments with fake heating. So like, at the end of the day, we're all crazy and none of us are really doing it exactly correctly. So we can all just like be humbled by that and just all try and do the best we can.
Right.
We're running so long, but I want to ask one more question and we can kind of just leave it on a note. But tips for kind of piggybacking on what we were just talking about, how can we be in this community in a happy and healthy way? And how can we maybe not be looking at other accounts, maybe getting jealous by a perfectly curated Instagram? How can we like stay true to ourselves and make meaningful relationships instead of letting that darker side of social media like take over? We have a doctor in the house, so.
What I would say is it's important to, again, decide what your intentions are. I mean, if you're looking at a quote unquote perfectly curated Instagram account thinking, I wish my account looked like that, there are ways you can learn to be an even better photographer. You can learn better editing skills. Everybody can make a pretty picture of a plant. If you don't have the perfect background of a wall, you can get a little piece of white paper. Before we painted our house walls white, we had these creamy off-white walls that looked horrible in pictures. I never took any pictures with the plants. I just didn't like how it looked. And I had areas where I had just a little white paper behind and I put the plant in front, or pink or gray, whatever you want to do. I mean, you can find a little corner to make a cute picture of a plant and kind of play around with editing. It's really fun, actually. I enjoy that. So if that's the issue, I think just take a little time and figure out how to make your pictures look like your plant does, right? So if they're really dark and kind of dingy, we can't really see it very well. So I think there's something to be said for just playing around with editing a little bit. And again, thinking about, why are you part of the community? Is it because you love plants and you want to learn more and you want to connect with people? Or is there something else going on there? And really dig deeper into what is the point of all of it, you know?
Yeah, when Instagram broke the other day, it was the biggest blessing, because it just like doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't, how many followers you have doesn't matter, you know? And like, when it just kind of stopped working for a while, I was like, wow, I mean, this would suck because it'll be hard for me to tell people about my podcast, but like, it's kind of nice too, you know?
I was
like,
laughing. I was thinking, like, who's having a panic attack right now?
Yeah.
Like, and who's having way a panic more attack? Done? And then Danae pointed out, she's like, it made me realize we need to diversify a bit more with our, for our business. That's
for
a big deal.
Business,
you know?
Owners. Yeah. Be thinking.
Terrifying, like, for a business owner. Yeah.
Instagram could go away. So if it's your only method of marketing, start making plans. that was a personal wake up call for myself, because we owe so much of our success to Instagram and the amazing community out there. The thing that I think I see happening the most when it comes to the downside of the plant community on Instagram is kind of this like feeling like your plant collection is never like good enough, and always kind of feeling that kind of jealousy over like, oh, so-and-so has a pink princess or a white knight, or I really want an Odensonii, or can somebody give me a real Obliqua? I only want a real one.
A variegated one. Right. Variegated real
variegated
Obliqua.
Deliciosa.
$2,000 on eBay.
Right. And that's fun. It's fun to collect. And if collecting is like your thing, that's fine. But I think also just kind of appreciating the plants you have. I mean, even though it's helpful for me if everyone in this room wants to completely completely pack their house full of plants, that's great because that's what I'm in the business of, is helping you do that. But I also, I don't want to encourage even like that way of doing it, of like always needing to have like the next cool plant. And like, if you don't have it, you're not like satisfied with your life. Or I really think that all plants are beautiful and that we can also appreciate the beauty of plants through other people's pictures of them or by visiting them in botanical gardens. And so really just finding ways to like appreciate the plants you do have. Spend more time like taking pictures of those plants. I mean, when I was saying earlier that lately I've been really into aglaonemas, that kind of started by I had to take an aglaonema home. And because Modernica had done like a video shoot in our shop and videotaped me potting one and then gave me the planter that I potted it in. And I was like, oh, okay, what am I going to do with this? And it was like in a Modernica planter that didn't have a drainage hole, which we wouldn't have sold at the shop. And I was like, I guess I'm taking this home, and realized how hardy it is because I had to stick it in a weird place where I wasn't planning on putting a plant and it's still alive. But then also just every time I took a picture of aglaonemas, I was like, these plants are really amazing. And kind of that even of just like finding new appreciation for a plant that you've seen before. And then I think if you are the person who has like the latest and greatest plant, is also just when you're posting about that, thinking about the fact that there's probably other people who are like, I would give $1 million to have that plant. I think that same idea of humility and kind of just keeping it cool. Like,
yeah.
Yes, I'm excited about this plant, but without it feeling like I'm bragging that I have the best plant collection in the world. But yeah, really, I think just that appreciation. I mean, it's also hard from the business side of things to have so many people always coming in asking for the new, like the Instagram it plant. Yeah, when they're really hard for us to find. And then feeling we're constantly disappointing people. So just recognizing, I think, what things that are rare and or just harder to find, which aren't always the same thing. And knowing that you may never find that one dream plant, but there's other ways to appreciate it, and that you have beautiful plants in your own home and you can showcase those on your Instagram and maybe give someone else a new appreciation for a plant that they had kind of written off. I mean, the other day I posted about Diefenbachias because for the longest time I hated them, mostly because I just feel like they're everywhere. Like every florist has them. And sometimes just seeing a new species or just seeing one in a cool planter like can really give you a new appreciation for a plant you've seen a million times.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, this just reminding me of, I did a blog post called Plant Obsessed.
Yes.
Last fall. And it's just really all about how to check yourself, you know, and make sure that you stay true to your intentions and that it's not starting to become sort of an unhealthy obsession.
Yeah.
Keep it a healthy obsession because that's what plants are all about. Right.
And that's why this is fun.
Yeah.
And maybe if you feel like maybe you're spending too much time like comparing yourself to other people on Instagram, get off Instagram and go plant shopping with a friend. Like keep bringing it back to IRL, plant friends at IRL, like keep bringing it back to real personal connection and real personal growth and maybe the growth of your plants. And we'll all just keep being happy and healthy in a wonderful plant community.
And blooming and growing.
Blooming and growing. We'll all just keep blooming and growing. So before we leave, I just want to say thank you so much. I hope you all enjoyed the amazing botanically inspired cocktails we had by Ahus Aquavit. And you guys are all going home with the most insane gift bag. So everybody's going to be going home with a Bloom and Grow pop socket with a specialized set of planty stickers designed by Danae and Folia Collective.
This is their like release. So no it one is, else has these stickers yeah, yet.
You guys are the first. Modern Sprout, one of my favorite planty companies, has given us their like push pop pollinator gardens so you can plant them. They come with instructions. We also have RT1 Home. We have the founder, Rhiannon, here. She's given amazing propagation cones. They're these canvas cones that you can put. So if you've ever like taken a cutting and it's fallen into the cup of water, it prevents your cutting from falling into the water. It's a little cone and it's ingenious. She also made the potting tarp I haven't stopped talking about since I got it. We have Hemleva basil pins, Hemleva planty pins for my plant pin collection. And then we also have bloom bags. They're made from 100% recycled material and they'll be great for your outdoor gardens. You can plant some stuff that will bloom and grow for you this summer. So we'll bring those bags out. I think we have some more cocktails. Have another drink, mingle. And thanks so much for being here, guys. Yay! Guys. Thank you, Danae and Christine, for such a wonderful and magical conversation. I hope you all feel inspired to continue to contribute to this wonderful community of plant friends that we are a part of. It is unbelievable. If you're looking for a way to engage with the community and haven't taken your first step yet, joining the Bloom and Grow Garden Club would be the perfect place to start. The link is in the show notes. And if you are in Arizona and you want to come to our Tucson meetup, you can check out the link in the show notes. I also just was really inspired about the etiquette portion of this conversation, and I just wanted to give a shout out. I was so impressed with this young woman who reached out to me. Her name is Michelle Bro, and her Instagram handle is I am Michelle Bro. I'll link to it in the show notes. She's a holistic nutritionist, but she just sent me the most thoughtful DM the other day, and I just wanted to give her some kudos. She's launching her own podcast that's going to be about holistic nutrition, completely separate from plants, but she wants to name her podcast Grow Radio, and she knew that I was already out there, Bloom and Grow Radio, and she approached me and wanted to confirm that it was okay that she uses the name Grow Radio as the title of her podcast. She sent me a very sweet voice memo and it told me flat out that if it made me uncomfortable, she wouldn't use the title, but it's what was on her heart to use. And I would love to see more of that happen in our plant community. You know, we talk about giving credit where credit is due. We talk about appropriately tagging people. We talk about supporting each other and carving our own personal path in the plant space. And I just really appreciate what Michelle did for me. And Michelle will probably end up promoting your podcast on my podcast when you launch it because of it. So I just thought that was such a class act thing. I think she's such a classy lady and you guys should go check her out. Speaking of class, thank you so much to Mountain Crest Gardens for sponsoring this episode. If you guys are looking for high quality succulents shipped to your door, I'm telling you, Mountain Crest Gardens is the place to go. Check out mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom to get your discount code for 15% off your first purchase. You're going to check out mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom, which will direct you to a website page where you can get your discount code for 15% off your first purchase with them. The variety of succulents is unbelievable. Their shipping is on point. Give them a look at mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom for your 15% off coupon code to use. Okay, plant friends, until next week, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you want to join the Bloom and Grow Garden Club, head over to bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club to join the planty fun. When you join, you get a free download of the Keep Blooming print that Molly Mansfield made exclusively for us, and you will also get an email with the password to the private Facebook group, which is what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is pretty amazing. For behind-the-scenes scoop, plant tips I learn along the way, and sneak peeks of future episodes, follow me on Instagram at @bloomandgrowradio. And plant friends, I'm here for you, so drop me a line if you have an idea for an episode, live event, or maybe if you're a planty business looking to sponsor the show. I am always here to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up. So you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.